Now, an hour of clarity for exhausted people of our nation mired in toxic partisanship. Left versus right. Us versus them. While we pay to keep our politicians fighting, how do we, the people, rise up and solve the great challenges of our time? We do it by embracing freedom and liberty. There may be no such thing as a free lunch, but this hour is as close as it gets. Welcome to A Free Solution.
Welcome to A Free Solution. I'm Kevin Wilson, here today, joined by Tim, the Freedom Baron O'Connor.
I'm here, Kevin, and I'm here to preach about an issue that us libertarians, Kevin, I think that we're missing an opportunity to collaborate with society just a little bit better. I know we're kind of autistic, and I know we're kind of policy nerds.
Society.
And I know
what are you going to do, Tim? What?
Once again, I'm defending. Well, it's going not exactly defending, but on some level, I want to make the case that our discussions around Social Security need to be more empathetic, need to be more recognizing of an inferred, implied, and forced contract that people have been, you know, maligned into, that have been abused into. And I think we've got to have that conversation. We've got to reach out to people. We have to come up with creative solutions and recognize that people that we want to help us achieve power, unironically, need to hear better messaging from us as libertarians. So,
all right. So that's a very long way. Winded way of saying that Tim's going to defend Social Security because it's politically advantageous. So Tim, Big Gov O'Connor is going to lay out the case for saving Social Security.
That was well played, Kevin. That was well played. You cast it.
No, that was a bit harsh. That was a bit harsh. But to give them more generous interpretation, you think that like there's a lot of people who've grown to understand Social Security as commitment, and that it's worthwhile to talk about that in an empathetic way because it's a system that we have had around for decades, and people understand that they are going to be at least somewhat dependent on that, right?
That it has played a big role in almost everyone's style of retirement planning. Okay, like regardless of how successful you are, you know that at some point in your life, Social Security checks are going to be coming to you.
To be fair, selfishly, like when libertarians are like. And I'm gonna say this and make the case for it. When we say Social Security is a Ponzi scheme and we need to like find a way to get rid of it or privatize it, like to a lot of folks that sounds like, at best like uncaring, yep. You know, and at worst dangerous, right? The way most people hear that, including a lot of Republicans now who used to be, I think, a little bit more in favor of like sensible like spending policy, but like now. That have kind of gone on the full, like, we're going to save Social Security no matter what train. A lot of Republicans now, a lot of folks listen to the show on WYSL. I'm like, no, don't take away my Social Security. Donald Trump promised that, like, he's going to save our Social Security from Joe Biden, right?
Yeah.
And Joe Biden promised the same thing. He promised he's going to save Social Security from Donald Trump. They're both major parties are accusing each other of wanting to destroy Social Security.
Yeah. Look.
And so we'll get into, like, how the main two parties kind of propose to save this and then. Yeah. What's some alternative solutions?
I have, as usual, because I'm older, as is already being pointed out in the comments, I have a little history subject for you guys about this. Going back to the Bill Clinton administration and Newt Gingrich and the balanced budget deal, Newt Gingrich, a conservative icon who still was never really all that conservative, but that's one of the problems with the GOP that I've mentioned on other shows. They're not, they court conservatives, but they don't. They really end up conserving big government programs. But Newt Gingrich had laid out what was an interesting possible solution in a retirement savings plan. And the retirement savings plan, and like one of his sales pitches, was that it would eventually cause Social Security to wither and die on the vine. And that is one of my earliest memories of the blue team seizing a narrative and saying that, changing what Newt Gingrich said to Newt Gingrich wants senior citizens to wither and die on the vine. And it was incredibly successful. It was totally mentally abusive, and it was completely wrong, and it was fear-mongering, it was lie-based, and it was a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous narrative that was unsuccessful. Because I as a young man, wanted, a young man seeing my potential earnings growing in the future, wanted a retirement plan that did not rely on the government. The fact that Social Security is a Ponzi scheme, we knew that then. We were ready for a better solution that gave us more autonomy over our forced retirement savings. And that's how Social Security is presented.
And Tim, to your point, like, our government and anyone who like has been willing to crunch numbers on this has known that Social Security was going to be insolvent for decades. We've been talking about the 2030 number like for a while, right? And it's kind of gone like back and forth a little bit, but like, now it's on the doorstep. 2030, it's not far away. It's 6 years from now when Social Security is going to start to become insolvent. And you threw out the both of us threw out the Ponzi scheme word. And let me just give some context to like why people make that argument, right? Just like the fundamental insustainability of Social Security is that most older folks, because people live longer, and just because of like different, like, you know, monetary policy and stuff like that too, you tend to extract more nowadays than you have put in, right? And so what it now relies on is newer people, younger people to feed that system in order to make sure that the benefits older retired Americans who are receiving Social Security benefits are able to continue getting that defined benefit government pension. Right. Like that's what it is. And so why that looks like a Ponzi scheme is that's how Ponzi schemes work. Right. The people who first invest in, they get their money back and then some. And then it requires new people to keep feeding that system in order for the people in the front to get that benefit from that system. But inevitably, you're going to have more people receiving benefits than people who are willing or able to pay in. And that's the point we're arriving at with Social Security, is that there aren't enough young people to sustain the continued payments in perpetuity for older Americans who now require more money and are living longer than they were when Social Security was first built in the 1930s, when the average age was the average like age American died was a lot lower.
Correct. The retirement age was lower then too, though. Just so you, like it was, I think 58 back then. And the goal of Social Security was, in a sense, to stimulate new workers to enter the workforce by asking older workers to retire. So there was an agreement that it was a Ponzi scheme that benefited society back then. Now, I think that one of the areas,
I'm pretty sure it was always 65 though.
Oh, well, look, I'll make stuff up to enhance my argument, Kevin, and that's just
the way it's going to be. It's perfect for politics.
Yeah. So one of the points that I want to make is that the government, regardless of the reality of Social Security, has made a promise to provide a retirement for the American working class. As libertarians, we believe in contractual law. Now, whether a court has ruled that this contract is valid or that this contract actually exists or not is irrelevant to the average American who has heard promise after promise from politician after politician, Republican and Democrat alike, that Social Security is going to be there for them in return for the tax money that they paid in. So where we lose it is being egg-headed about it, right? Where we're saying we have to get rid of Social Security. We have to get rid of human beings' rights to something that they purchased from the government. And everybody's looking at the imaginary economic numbers that the government uses. And when we spend $6 trillion more than we take in, when we borrow $6 trillion a year or $2 trillion a year, depending on what year it is, there's a real issue that money becomes, I want to say no longer real, but the promise of Social Security still remains in people's heads. It's a current thing, right? Like,
right.
So,
well, I mean, and that's, it's kind of how that system was built, right? Like the concept behind Social Security was, I mean, it was a bit of a cynical political ploy too, right? Like,
absolutely,
we'll be realistic about it. It was FDR wanted to make sure he could buy the loyalty of the Democratic base and ultimately the entire American voting base. But also, you know, like the idea behind it was that you create an entitlement for everybody. So sort of like the old age, like UBI, right? Like everybody gets the same thing. You all pay into it a certain amount. You all essentially get the same amount out of it. It's not quite that way, but like that's the idea, is you pay into it, you get out of it. Rich, poor, whatever, everyone gets that benefit. And you don't want to means test it, because if you do that, you know, then it just becomes a welfare program. And they thought that that would be more politically vulnerable. And Democrats still talk about it like this. They said, you know, if we made it means tested at all, which is one of the solutions you could do, then it becomes politically vulnerable. And therefore, you have now broken your promise to folks who have paid in expecting to get something out of it, as if it were like a 401k or something. But it doesn't work like that. It's not a 401k. It's not that.
It would be better if it was, right? Like that's
we're going to talk about that.
Yeah. So that was where Newt Gingrich was trying to go, was a forced retirement savings kind of concept, whereby people build value. They would be able to use it for home purchases. They would be able to use it for college funding. They would be able to use it for retraining yourselves, and you would have to pay it back. Like
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that, but in the last segment,
okay.
Because there's other countries that have done this too, and we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
So I mean, let's just keep talking about like the contract side, right? Like, because I get the argument that you're making, right? Like, people had this expectation, this promise from government, right? If the government said, I'm going to give you this amount of money at this age, if you pay taxes and do everything you're supposed to. And again, like, you can check, like, right now, any age, if you're working, you could check how much you paid in Social Security and what your expected benefit would be and all that stuff. They're telling you, like, they act like it is a 401k type of thing, right?
Yeah,
they act like it, like you're paying into this pool, but like really it doesn't. Like, you're just paying it to government, and like the government saying, we pinky promise to like give you this money eventually. But like all defined benefit systems, like pensions run into this, both corporate and government run pensions, is that, again, if one of a couple things happen, either like you overpromise, like you're not able to deliver on those benefits based on new revenue coming in, or is mismanaged or borrowed from too much, then you end up running into problems. And that's why, like, government to me, like, yeah, you're right. Government should keep its promise. However, it's already fundamentally broken its promise, and it hasn't taken any concrete steps to do things to rectify that, right? The government could have absolutely done stuff to fix this, even within the context of a defined benefit system decades ago. Decades ago, they could have done something about it. And the longer they wait, the worse it's going to get.
And look, these guys made it sound like they did do things, okay? Like they did turn it into a defined benefit program, that there's a Social Security lockbox that exists. That's the current zeitgeist on Social Security. That's what 60% of the population believes about Social Security. Now, excuse me, guys. The reality is, legally, that may not be true, but as libertarians, there is enough evidence for us to argue that that contract does in fact exist, like that the government has paid, has created this contract, that has created what's called an implied contract. And sure, did anyone who paid in sign that contract? Like,
that's a Facebook comment. Someone asked that directly.
Right.
Yeah, like that. I mean, sort of, like, you kind of, it's one of those things where, like, when you sign up to, I mean, you get a Social Security card when you're little, and when you sign up for employment, you pay your taxes. Like, that's how, like, they say, like, oh, you've agreed to do that because you've participated in society, and your employer is going to, like, give part of your paycheck to this, right?
I mean, look,
and so, and then you give us some money, we promise to give you some money later.
Yeah, the argument is persuasive, but also the reality is that regardless of whether or not you signed that contract, you were forced into this contract, where the government says, yes, we forced you into this contract, but now we're not necessarily obligated to make good on the contract.
Right.
And that, to me, is a real opportunity to criticize the government and hold it accountable.
Shocking, Tim. When has government ever failed to deliver on their contracts, promises, and treaties? My goodness.
Nearly every single time they make promises that they can't keep. They write their body writes checks that their mouth can't cash or some sort of nonsense like that. I think I got it all backwards, but it doesn't matter.
Flipping it around, but yeah.
But you know what I mean. Like, the government talks a lot of crap, makes a lot of promises that people then, like, make life decisions, plan their lives around. And so at some point, Kevin, I did run some numbers about whether people do pay in more to Social Security than what they take out from Social Security. And I think that the results are kind of interesting, and certainly they're going to be a little bit ambiguous. And certainly there's going to be an issue of them being open to interpretation, but I don't know, would this segment be a good time, or should we save that for segment two?
I mean, we have like 4 minutes left. We could probably talk about that.
All right. So let's just, for example, I ran a saving investing calculator that assumes a 4% rate of return, which is about the historical average. And based on, you know, an initial contribution balance of $2,500, it's just kind of how the calculator works. But on some level, you have to have a 0 point. And then about an approximate $250 monthly contribution. And then assuming an expected annual return of 4%, you would, and this is where it gets a little bit gray, but if I'm 20 years old and I work till age 67, that's 47 years of a contribution, right? My final balance, based on all of those assumptions, would be a retirement account with $431,000 in it. Now, $431,000 doesn't necessarily sound like a lot of money, but if you say you're going to live to be 77, you're going to get 12 payouts a year, that gives you about 10 years, about 120 payouts. You get from Social Security, the average check is about $1,700. So just to do that simple math, 120 times 1,700 is $204,000. So you can see that there's a substantial amount of theft going on there that makes that contract, that promise of the contract, something valuable to enforce against the government, because they are actually making money on it if they were to be responsible with it and not spend it foolishly. How's that sound? We got to add a lot of caveats there, right?
No, I mean, there's a lot of that, right? It's in like the bottom line too, is that like you, despite the fact that I talked about like the Ponzi scheme thing, like you were probably making less off of like what you'd receive from Social Security retirement with the government. And you are also at their whim. They decide if they are going to increase your benefits and how much like they're adjusting for inflation, things like that. You're sort of at their whim at that, than you would in the private market. Yeah. Right.
So here's a comment from Facebook user. Don't forget about inflation in that equation. Okay. Correct. But inflation is on both sides of that equation, okay? So it's on the contribution equation and the rate of return equation, and it's also on your defined benefit payout. So at some point, I can't control for every variable and make it interesting enough for people to understand. But what I'm saying is there's a substantial amount of value to your Social Security contributions that is being soaked up by the government.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
No. Yeah, that is what it is. And again, it's not like it's all being like turned into cash and put in a vault either. Like the government's doing different things with it.
The government is loaning it to itself, which is hilarious, because the only way they can afford the interest on loaning it to itself is through taxation of the income tax, right? Use of the income tax to pay the interest on the Social Security money. It's literally... That to me is insane. Like, there's no benefit there. Like, I have lots of criticisms of Social Security, and I think that it's an absolutely flawed system. But if we do not recognize that when we're talking to human beings outside of the libertarian construct, we need to find common ground with them. And I think enforcing an implied contract is fine. And somebody said in the comments, it's a contract signed under duress. Absolutely. Which makes it more enforceable against a person that forced you to sign it when it's to your benefit, and it should allow you out of that contract if you don't want to participate. Like, those are the things. Like, yes, it is a contract made under duress. That gives us the right to opt out or to enforce it against the aggressor. That's contract law. Arguably, I took business law when I went to college. So I
right, yeah. Well, it's, make yeah, bold statements. Delivering that. But we are out of time for this segment. Thanks again for joining us here on A Free Solution on WYSL. We're going to be back in just a few minutes. Talk to you soon.
Introducing a sobering and unavoidable truth. The latest advancements in artificial intelligence have made cyber attacks easier than ever before. Cyber criminals are relentlessly targeting your business right now, seeking the tiniest opening in your defenses to drain your accounts and steal sensitive data. Your finances and your customers' trust are on the line. Call the experts at Simple Tech Innovations now at 585-999-TECH to secure your business today. Don't wait until it's too late. Make the call today. 585-999-TECH.
Hey, this is Kevin Wilson, host of A Free Solution. You ever need a tool for just one project, but didn't want to spend the cash for something you'd use just once or twice? Well, there's a new tool library in Rochester where you can borrow just the thing you need instead of buying a new one. It's called the Tool Shed from the Southeast Area Coalition, and membership starts at just $25 a year. Use it for home projects or to support your business. Learn more and become a member at seektoolshed.org. That's S-E-A-C, toolshed.org.
In 1926, the Avon Fire Department put an Aaron's Fox pumper into service. It now sits fully restored in a museum near Toronto. Avon has an opportunity to bring the Fox home for its 100th birthday for a fraction of its appraised value. The Aaron's Fox Full Circle Preservation Society needs your help. Look us up on Facebook or call 615-6463. Let's bring home the Fox.
A Free Solution on the WYSL stations.
Welcome back to A Free Solution. I'm Kevin Wilson today, joined by Tim, the Freedom Variant O'Connor.
I'm here, Kevin, and I am taking the controversial libertarian position that we should protect Social Security.
Yeah, And so someone had asked this question earlier that noting, Tim, that you are a little bit older than I am. You know, I'm currently 33, and I know some folks who are even younger than that listen to this are just thinking, like, I'm not even going to pretend that the government's going to deliver on this contract, right? And they see, you know, other old age pension systems from governments and, you know, here in Rochester, too, from corporations collapse because, like, again, the system itself was fundamentally unsustainable. So a lot of people my age and even probably like anyone like 40, 45 and younger just assume like, I'm not going to get this. Like, so like the sooner we can rip off the Band-Aid, the better. The people older than that, you know, people your age, they're like, man, I have so much sunk cost into this. Like, of course I need to get my benefit out of it. No, but like to younger folks and, you know, 33 it being what it is, like sort of young, we're like, no, this is a bad deal, and we need to get out of this deal as soon as possible. So, Tim, do you have any response to like that, like the age gap? And there's, and we'll also add too, by the way, because this is functionally a Ponzi scheme. Older people tend to be wealthier too, like just on at, like in general, people who are older tend to have more means to support themselves. It's not universal. I know it's not universal, but like older people tend to be wealthier.
Yeah.
Than the younger people who are going to have to subsidize eventually, assuming that the solutions go the way they're probably going to go, who are going to have to subsidize Social Security retirement for older folks.
Yeah. Now, so look, I think your points are what I would call valid, and I would also call them important. But I would also say that from a libertarian perspective, we're not going to win friends and influence people when we say that. There is,
I mean, you win younger friends.
What's that?
Just not older friends. Like the folks who vote, you know, who are 65 plus. Yeah, they hear that and like, ah, no, whatever. Like, why you as a libertarian just taking my stuff away? But like, this is not even a libertarian position. This is like a younger people position who are like, I'm not going to get this unless you fix it. The system's going to be broken in a decade. So like, and then why should I have to subsidize some of the wealthiest Americans? Like, this is like a Democrat, like younger Democratic talking point sometimes.
Oh, well, fair enough, right? Like, so certainly there would be interim solutions that I'm absolutely amenable to. But the political system would not, Kevin, because it could end up destroying the system. And we alluded to it, we referred to it in our earlier segment, but where we start a means testing program where if you have, you know, $500,000 worth of assets already, or you have a fully funded Roth IRA that has over $200,000 in it, the likelihood that the extra $1,700 is going to make a real impact in your life is zero. But if we allow people to opt out from paying in and getting money back out, then that crushes the system. Now, overall, I'm in favor of
it. I mean, if we do that, though, like, I don't think the system would be sustainable because, like, this is something that's happening in Europe, right? Like, so again, people my age, like, if I could opt out of Social Security right now and divert all that money to like a, you know, an index fund somewhere, I would do it in an instant, right? Like, yeah. I absolutely 100% I would sign up for that on day one.
Yeah.
The problem is right now is that there are more people expecting payments, even when everyone's forced to pay it in, than then there are people who can pay in, right? So that's the fundamental problem. So if younger people who are going to be working another, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years are opting out, there will not be enough funds for the people who are already receiving Social Security benefits to get benefits from that system. And again, why would you stay in that system when you're getting less of a return and we're worried correctly that we're not going to ever see that return and it's just going to go to subsidize people who are older?
So to avoid your specific question, but to present a possible argument to that position is that the promise and the implied contract of Social Security could be a tool and a wedge to force the government into some sort of sustainable fiscal responsibility, whereby they stop creating programs that are making us broke. Okay. So arguably, to hold the government accountable would be to cause them to become more fiscally responsible, to understand that funding foreign wars and proxy wars all over the world, to blowing up wealth over oceans and bombing brown people is a completely inappropriate thing to do for a number of reasons. And one of those reasons is because we made an implied contract with the citizens of the United States and we compelled them to pay their money. Like, we compelled them to, we took their money under penalty of, you know, being locked in a cage in a typical libertarian, you know, talking
that's
point.
True. That's the signed under duress type of thing, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, if you don't pay your taxes when you get employment or you're an independent contractor or whatever, they will throw you in a cage eventually if you don't pay that stuff.
Yeah. So we have to use it as a lever to force fiscal responsibility would be my answer, even though it doesn't answer our problem specifically. Like, I mean, to answer your critique specifically, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, like, that would be great, but I'm arguing that, like, absent everything else, so, like, the system is fundamentally unsustainable as is, right? Because how it's supposed to work, and I know it doesn't always work this way, but how it's supposed to work is it's supposed to be a self-contained system. Now, I know people Congress has borrowed in from the Social Security Trust Fund in the past, but, like, it actually has paid a bunch of that back.
Sure.
And that's like the how they get to that 2030 target is the paying it back part. But, like, unless you're proposing that we stop spending elsewhere so we can subsidize this system more, in which case it's no longer self-sustainable, it's pulling from other types of taxes. Because, Tim, what that sounds to me is like we probably have to raise taxes in order to pay for this.
Well, arguably, if we're in a situation to fund our current what the government calls our current responsibilities and obligations, we're already at a situation where if we don't raise taxes, the entire system is unsustainable. So again,
Tim, is that what you're proposing?
With a winning point about your specific issue, but to educate people that aren't libertarians, I'm that's where I reside. Does that right? I'm deflecting.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, but like, because again, like, if I'm coming at this as like a, you know, a Democrat or a Republican, I would just say like, okay, cool. Like, we can talk about fiscal responsibility, but how does that save this specific program that's supposed to be separate, right? Unless you're just proposing raise taxes, and like subsidize this program more, which again, I would go back with, why should I get taxed even more to subsidize your retirement?
Look, that's a fair question, right? And so what's the way around it? Should you be taxed more? No. Should the government stop spending so much money and get to an area of fiscal responsibility where it can handle its obligations? Like, should we put a value on the government's real obligations? The government is the one that made the promise. And somehow, I know that the government is us, but somehow we have to find a way to hold them accountable for this contract that doesn't injure other people. Doesn't.
Well, so to me, like, you know, Tim, I feel like that's kind of a red herring, and right, and you're going to end up inevitably. You're still going to end up with what's happening in Europe, right? Like, you have a population crisis over in Europe, where you have, like, again, there's not enough young people paying into this system, and because like there are fewer young people, it's happening in Japan as well. You have fewer younger people paying into the system. People are living longer. They're receiving benefits longer.
Yeah.
It's fundamentally unsustainable. So the only there are a couple ways that like we could fix it, right? And it's A, raise the retirement age.
Yep.
B, lower benefits. C, raise taxes. Or D, do means testing. Right.
And that's
like assuming that Social Security like maintains the defined benefit structure that it has now. Right. So like, let's just assume that for a moment. Those are really the only ways to fix this. It's really only four ways. I'm sure there are other like clever ways, but like those are the only ways that we're like, I think are realistic and understandable in the short term.
So look, fair enough. Right. I do recognize that there's flaws in my argument. And I do recognize that when it comes to the actual Social Security system and the fact that it is a Ponzi scheme and that at some point it is going to have to be subsidized to maintain its current structure, I've always been in favor of means testing. And that's not to offer it as a distraction. But what I'm saying is that Republicans and Democrats do not have the wherewithal for that, because it will, in fact, like, cause the system to wither and die on the vine, in the words of Newt Gingrich, right? Like, that's the reality. It will allow people to opt out of Social Security on a permanent basis. Like, that's the legal problem of the contract. If they start doing means testing and not just entitle it, then it's no longer a social program. It is a defined benefit pay-in, right? So,
Right. Yeah, that it truly is actually a defined benefit program. And like, okay, you pay in, you get this money out. But again, most people, I think, are going to look at this and think it's a bad deal. And two, the other point you started to make, and I'm going to bring up this Facebook user's comment, so there's no way to make such a system sustainable in today's political environment.
Yeah.
And maybe that's so, but dang, like, I've gone on this like this civic nationalism rant before, but like, my goodness, we have to expect Congress to be able to do hard things, right? Like, that is how a republic needs to work. That's how a constitutional republic needs to work. So like, yeah, I know, like, we can be like, man, it stinks in today's political environment trying to get something done. But like, the Republicans and Democrats know a crisis is looming on this. They know that they have to solve this problem. My goodness, I'm asking political leaders to like just get there, like, to just like make sure they step up and be adults and find a solution to this, because like it's necessary, like, because the collapse is going to be so much worse than whatever solutions, painful solutions even, are going to be proposed in this. Like, that's like, it's so much worse if suddenly like Social Security checks can't go out, right? And then, you know, you don't exactly know like who's going to be hurt by this. So like, yeah, I'm actually, if we stay within the structure of this, like, I'm fine with means testing, because it is silly to me, as you said, that for someone who has, you know, several million dollars in assets to get a $1,700 Social Security check, like, what does that matter to them? It doesn't at all.
No. Like, and I think that we could travel way further down than several million dollars in assets, right? Like, we.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I'm picking like the top one, but like, again, I said it before, like, older people tend to be a bit wealthier, right? Like, you know, like, it hurts having money taken out at my age a lot more, which is, you know, sort of why, like, it's tough for younger people to save for retirements. That And we're going to talk about some of that in a little bit, but like it hurts a lot more to then have that money go in subsidizing someone who absolutely doesn't need it, who would not miss that check at all. Now I get, and that's why like means testing is fine to me, because I get there's some people I even know and I care about and I love who get that Social Security check and like, man, they would not be able to pay their bills without it. I get it.
Yeah.
Right. And so like, I think you have a good point when you say like libertarians can't just like be like, that's a Ponzi scheme, abolish Social Security, like be done with it, because it scares the crap out of some people. Cause some people, they, you hear that and you think like, oh, these people want to just like take away this dollar amount. That's my difference between being able to keep my home in or not,
yeah,
to put food on my table or not.
Yeah.
So like we have to be empathetic. So like, I think there must be ways to kind of honor that contract. It's just, it's not going to be done in the structure that we have now. Like it has to change.
Yes.
Otherwise, like those people are going to be even more in trouble.
You are making a very powerful argument for means testing. Like that is probably the first order of business, like that I think society would be ready to hear from libertarians, where libertarians are saying, look, we understand that this was a contract, but some of you have accumulated a lot of assets. Some of you have like no foreseeable problem with your retirement package. Okay. But a means testing creates an obligation where people who already have plenty of money do not need Social Security money. And that would, yeah, I think we could get where it would substantially lower the payout responsibilities.
Yeah. And I get it. And the response from this, and it's probably going to come from like more of the Republican side, is this, what's the difference between this and like soak the rich taxation? This is you're just confiscating wealth, essentially. You know, you're just saying like, hey, look, I paid into this. I was promised to get money out of it. And you're just confiscating that money to distribute to poor people. Like you have broke your promise.
Absolutely. I agree with them, but that's a reality too, right? Like that, yes. The whole thing is a promise that has been broken in a way, based on the campaign rhetoric used, the promises made by representatives of our government. Those promises have been made. On some level, it's been delivered upon. So the people who have been already stolen from have some rights, right? So it's an interesting argument. I think that means testing would be the first accessible and realistic way that people would I say acceptable, even, right? People would be like, all right, means testing, yeah, we've got to kind of accept that as a reality. Yeah. They would accept that before they accept raising the retirement age drastically.
Yeah, maybe. We do have to head the break. We'll talk about a few more of those solutions and some other ones as well. Thanks again for joining us here on Free Solution on WYSL. We'll be back in just a few.
Introducing a sobering and unavoidable truth. The latest advancements in artificial intelligence have made cyber attacks easier than ever before. Cyber criminals are relentlessly targeting your business right now, seeking the tiniest opening in your defenses to drain your accounts and steal sensitive data. Your finances and your customers' trust are on the line. Call the experts at Simple Tech Innovations now at 585-999-TECH to secure your business today. Don't wait until it's too late. Make the call today. 585-999-TECH.
To live the quality of life we deserve in truth and freedom, informed by our Constitution, our laws, and traditions, we need to pick the best leaders possible. Recent experience certainly illustrates that. Free and accurate elections are essential if we're going to restore our society and safeguard our rights. New York Citizens Audit is a volunteer, nonpartisan group which has been lobbying for open-source audits of the State Board of Elections and reform of the electoral process statewide. Did you know Citizens Audit has uncovered over 1 million felony violations of election law? That in 2020, there were 625,000 more voter registrations than existing voting age citizens in just six New York counties? That there were 338,000 more votes cast than voters who voted. These are just a few shocking examples of the urgent need for reform. You can help. Visit auditny.com and learn the facts, how to volunteer, and make a difference in your community. Again, volunteer, donate, or spread the word. Start at auditny.com. That's auditny.com.
A free solution on the WYSL stations.
Welcome back to A Free Solution. I'm Kevin Wilson, here today, joined by Tim, the Freedom Marion O'Connor, and we're talking Social Security today, and we're talking about some of the potential solutions here.
Yeah, I've got two potential solutions, Kevin, that I think could, in fact, save Social Security. Workplace environments have become entirely too safe, okay? And if we were to eliminate more younger workers through okay, that's a bad one.
Okay, yeah, so Tim's solution is if we just kill the young.
Well, that's very libertarian, right? Like, hey, your employer offers you a place to work. You decide whether it's safe enough for you to work and make your own decisions. There's an assumption of risk, and it's on you. Also, guys, that's just a joke. But that is a problem with Social Security, is that people are actually living longer and surviving to retirement age more often. The other thing is that if we got back to having more children, we're down below like 1.6 for every two people that reproduce. Like we're our replacement rate is too low.
That's what the Europeans are like. All right, listen, we recognize this is a Ponzi scheme, and you know what we need? We need more suckers. Yes. So just have more babies so they can pay it to the system so you people can continue to mooch off the young.
Yeah.
Like that's the solution. Like legitimately, like Europe, Japan, that's what they're trying to do. Like, please guys, just have more babies so that we are able to sustain this Ponzi scheme that we built.
I think if we lowered the percentage of narcissists in our society somehow through like compelled education about narcissism and how it's bad, and that how having children is actually beneficial to older people so that we have a workforce to parasite off of, I think that would be a successful strategy. I think that the libertarians could sell that.
There we go. So that's certainly an option. And you know, like population decline is real, and it's actually it's actually a problem for not just this reason. Actually, it's a problem for like some other reasons as well. Just because it's not just like paying into a system. It's also like, okay, who takes care of everyone when they're 70 years old and they need some help, for the next 30 years, right? Like it's a legitimate problem. Unless you're like, you know, a senator or something, in which case, like, you're good.
Yeah. It was a legitimate societal strategy back, you know, in the 1800s where you're growing a farm and growing your family at the same time so that your farm can be more effectively managed with more hands, right? So we've kind of lost that as a society. Arguably, an influx of workers, low wage, minimum wage workers could in fact benefit Social Security. So I'll turn it over to you to advocate for immigration now.
I mean, that's a legitimate thing. People are saying, hey, we want to save Social Security. Just import a bunch of young immigrants and they're going to pay into the system.
Yeah. So, and a lot of them don't even get tax returns at all. So like they're.
A lot of them are paying into the system without actually being able to benefit from Social Security.
Yeah, it's a 100% contribution. But we still managed to spend $6 trillion, you know, who knows? The government still manages to spend $6 trillion and we still run up our national debt at over $1 trillion a year. So at some point we have to fix that or nothing is going to get fixed.
Yeah, in addition to all the other stuff that the government's doing, you know, it's not just Social Security, it's kind of everything. But let's take a moment to talk about I think one of the solutions that we actually would be more on the libertarian side, right? Something that we should talk about more. And I actually want to talk about the libertarian paradise of Australia.
Whoa, hold up.
I know, right?
Hold up a second. Like that didn't land right. I just want to make sure
Correctly. Libertarian paradise. Oh, I'm sorry. But they do have a privatized Social Security.
Okay, fair enough.
Somewhat privatized, right? So and that's the funny part, right? It's like, you know, we talk about this as like, wow, you libertarians are wild for even like considering a privatized system of Social Security, but places like Australia do it. And there's several other, like a couple of the Nordic countries do something similar where it's not paying into a defined benefit plan. It's paying into, it's like a, it's still a forced contribution, but it's a forced contribution to something like akin to a 401k in some places, or akin to like an IRA in other places, like Chile does something like this. And every employer is required to take that out, right? And you put it into a fund. But the important part is that you manage that fund. Like, you own it. The government cannot touch it, in theory, right?
Right.
They can always grab anything. But in theory, like, you own that, can manage it, can decide if you want to take the penalty of withdrawing sooner, or, you know, shifting where the funds are, if it's an index fund, or you want to shift into more securities, or you want to have it more in corporate bonds or treasuries, whatever. You get to decide what that is. You still have to give a certain amount, but you own it.
Yeah.
And it's a system that Australia made the switch to, I think, like 40 years ago now. And they have to contribute something like 12% of their income to it.
Which,
right?
Is similar to what we're contributing, right? We're
yeah.
12% for an average American employee and 17 to 20% for a self-employed individual. So,
mm-hmm.
So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we're it's very similar. Like, I think 7% comes out of your average worker's paycheck, and then that's matched on some level by your employer. So nearly 50-50. So it's a very similar contribution, right?
Yeah. And so there are ways of being able to do this, right? And like, an acceptable solution to me, if like we decide that we want to get serious about saving for Social Security, is essentially you could say, okay, we are going to take like the amount that like you have put into this system, like, because we know to the dollar how much has been put into this system. And we say, okay, we're going to just shift all of that into like a, you know, a fund that you own, that you control part of, right? Just shift that to there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the government from there is like, now it is yours. You can have a financial advisor, like anyone who has their, you know, either was it Series 6 or Series 7, whatever it is, Series 7 maybe.
Yeah.
And you're able to do this. They're able to manage it on your behalf. You can manage it on your own. Whatever you want to do, it's yours now. Government has no more obligation here. And even if that would require some additional funding to make sure that that's squared up, I would be okay with that in order to fulfill a promise that was made. Okay, let's drain out the Social Security system, the fund that we have, transfer it into these accounts that the government no longer has anything to do with, and, you know, whatever the gap is, like, pay that gap.
Arguably, that's very attractive, and I think that especially for even me, like, I would love to have my net payout, a lump sum payout of that on some level are my contributions of what I put into Social Security in a lump sum or a fund that I control that I can't, even if I couldn't take it out until after I'm 65 or there were penalties for withdrawing money from it, I would be okay with that. Like, I saved a lot of money when I was younger and I managed to buy a couple pieces of property. I think I would still make it under the means testing in the current system, right? But I would be okay with having more money to manage. I would be okay with investing in my properties to achieve a rate of return, right? Like, I can take my own labor, my own money, and force multiply a return on that, right? So I love that. Love them.
Yeah. And like, you should be able to do that. And like, however you want to like use that money, like, should be up to you, right? Like, in systems like Australia, you're able to, at a certain age, take some of that money out penalty free. You know, it's the same way, like, there'd have to be some structure around it. Like, does it have a 401k type of thing where like you just pay tax on what you get out, even though this is already sort of paid in as tax? Is it considered post-tax income, pre-tax income? I'm not going to get into the details of what like necessarily makes sense here.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I think like this direction would be good. Again, to me, if like I could take that money like that I put in right now and like put that into like an existing, you know, 401k type system, an index fund or whatever, right? Like, it would make sense to me to be able to do that. And again, this is this Facebook user says, "How dare you suggest that which has worked before?" It has, like, other countries have already done this. This isn't even something new. This is an option that we've seen how it's worked. Like, you know, the Australian system isn't exactly perfect too. There's still means testing as well. Like if you are unemployed for a while, there's still like low income assistance that's available to you. Like in the same way we would, I mean, there's a whole other conversation with like Medicaid that has to take place as well. Things like food stamps, like that is an additional thing we'd have to deal with. Like Social Security, you know, would be there. And now the government can no longer touch it. They can no longer break a promise to you. You'd be able to do with that money what you want. And even if it were compelled, which is not exactly a libertarian solution, like forcing you to save, it's a better alternative than what we have now. So that's my compromise position that takes into account, like, people still want to be able to keep their money. People feel like the government shouldn't like confiscate any of this if you are older and wealthier. And, you know, we're not totally leaving people high and dry either. Like you have to save into the system if you're working. And if you're not, then, well, again, there's other ways of being able to get assistance right now to meet your basic needs as well, which again, that's a separate conversation. I'm just talking about Social
Security. I've got a devil's advocate kind of question here for you, Kevin. Based on the fact that I like this concept. I've always liked this concept. It's not dissimilar to what was tried in 1992. Your system is going to create some inherent wealth and retirement iniquities and inequalities. And the socialists and the communists in our society are going to have a problem with that. How is a libertarian going to sell your system when it's inevitable that at the end of the game, there's going to be inequality and some people are going to starve because they didn't contribute enough money to their forced retirement savings? It's painful, right?
The tough part is like I don't really care about the opinion of communists.
Sure, don't believe me. But I'm gonna say it.
And so, like, my first reaction is to say something I can't say on radio about those folks. But
I'll say it. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I gotta edit this. No, but like, there's gonna be inequalities. There are already inequalities with the system that we have now, right? Like, it already exists, and like, I think it's important to also set the expectation that you are responsible for your own retirement more, right? Like, again, like people, I think there's a handful of people who like maybe aren't aware that like think like, oh, well, the government will take care of me in my old age and I'll be able to do that. It's really not enough to live on for like most people. Like, it's really, really not. Set the expectation appropriately. You're responsible for building your own savings, and we're going to do this for, we're going to help you out.
Yeah.
By like having you contribute to your own savings. And if you're really in destitution, there's still going to be other systems to be able to support you there. But in terms of like replacing that income in retirement, yeah, there's going to be some inequality there. But I'm okay. Like, inequality doesn't necessarily bother me. Like, I know some people are going to have less. Some people are going to have more because like of different circumstances that led them to being able to live a more comfortable life. Like, I just, at the end of the day, like, inequality doesn't bother me. Destitution bothers me, and I think it's worth doing something about that. Yeah. But inequality does not bother me.
Right. And inequality doesn't bother me. I'm saying that, and I think you understand what I'm saying. I'm not actually challenging you, but that the Democrat narrative, so let me just put it this way. Just grab 60% of the Republicans and 7% of Team Blue with your potential solution there. But is that enough to make a change in the libertarian approach? Like, I think people need to wake up that this, our ideas are good, our ideas are sound, and our ideas are, that to me is compassionate to a broader spectrum of society. Like, that there's a lot of compassion in a system like that.
Yeah, right. And again, like, it's something where like the government can't suddenly say, you are now retiring at 70, right? It's your money. If you want to retire at 55, that is your choice. If you, whether or not you have enough money to do that, you know, well, that's not the government's responsibility. That's your responsibility to make sure that like you are able to do that, right? And again, for people who are disabled, for people who cannot work, for people who are in real trouble, there are other systems to like deal with that specifically.
Yeah.
But for everyone else, like, yeah, man, like you work like as much as you need to work, but like you're responsible for having enough money for that.
No, I love that. And that is actually like a freedom-based solution, right? Like, where with freedom, there has to be accountability, right? And that's the problem with the narratives being peddled by both the GOP and the DNC, that we can have freedom as defined by them with no accountability for our own actions.
And yeah. I think that asking people to take responsibility for their own lives is a virtue, and our government should do more of that.
Yes, that's actually well said. I love it.
All right. And I think we're going to have to actually end the show on that note, unfortunately, because I'm looking at the time. We're running out of time. But thanks again, folks, for joining us here on A Free Solution. We'll probably continue for another few minutes after the show. So look up our podcast, A Free Solution, anywhere you find podcasts. Thank you, WYSL audience. Have a great night.